From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Writer-director Michael Kantor thought it would take him 4 years to make his documentary, Broadway, the American Musical. Instead, it took 10 as he marshaled archival footage, newsreels, and rare TV and audio clips. The result airs tomorrow through Thursday on PBS. It's the first TV documentary to look at the entire history of Broadway. Bob Mondello calls it a three-night orgy for musical lovers.
6 hours of Broadway sounds like a little much even for me, and I've been going to musicals since 1962, but I'm still a sucker for the first notes of an overture, and the one that opens this series is no exception. The show starts with tapping from the musical 42nd Street, segues into tapping from other shows, and then taps its way outside to the real 42nd Street, where it intersects with Broadway at Times Square.
Broadway. It's the street of dreams.
Julie Andrews is the host for a waltz through musical theater history that has a lot more territory to cover than That's Entertainment did for film. Back in the 1920s, it wasn't uncommon to have 6 or 7 Broadway musicals opening each weekend, and the form itself has evolved enormously from vaudeville and operetta to the sophisticated concept musicals of more recent vintage. So an organizing principle had to be found. Focusing on stars was one option, and they dot the series from the great Ethel Waters to Ethel Merman.
From the National Gallery, your gobble salary, your cellophane.
To Zero Mostel.
If I were a rich man,
to Matthew Broderick.
I want to be a producer with a hit show on Broadway.
Another way to organize is by composers and lyricists, Irving Berlin to Stephen Sondheim, and you'll hear the stories and voices of all the major ones. But as an overarching principle, writer-director Michael Kantor leans hardest on the notion that the key to the musical's popularity lies in how it's reflected what's going on outside the theater, be it war or prohibition or even the advent of rock and roll. The series pays special tribute to often neglected African-American talents, Burt Williams, for instance, whose signature song was Nobody, and whose words from a memoir are used to tie that song to the history of a 1920s Broadway strike.
I went to the theater as usual, made up and dressed. Then I came out of my dressing room and found the stage deserted and dark. The big auditorium empty and the strike on. I had not been told. You see, I just didn't belong.
Some of the show's early discoveries are pretty astonishing. The filmmakers have rare color footage of the Ziegfeld Follies, shot back when Hollywood was still trying to figure out how to match up sound with black and white images. And how about this moment from a rehearsal for My Fair Lady, in which a very nervous non-singer named Rex Harrison hears the full orchestrations that he'll be talking on pitch to for the very first time.
You are just an ordinary man.
But there's a woman in your life.
Stop, 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 stop! Take it out, I demand that be taken out.
Take out what?
That, yes, it's so loud. How do I know where to sing?
You'll get used to it, eh?
I will never get used to it.
That's actually a recreation several years after the fact for a TV show called The Fabulous 50s, but it's priceless nonetheless. The series also functions as a sort of primer on how musicals are put together. For instance, Peter Stone, who wrote the book for the musical 1776, notes that it was almost impossible to put a ballad in a show's first act until Oscar Hammerstein figured out a way around an obvious problem.
The ballad was one of the great centers of a musical, but the fact is that a ballad can't be sung until the characters know each other. You can't sing undying love to someone you just met. So Oscar invented the conditional ballad. The first one I know about was in Showboat, only make-believe. We're just make-believe we're in love. Then comes Oklahoma, people will say we're in love. We're not, but people will say we're in love. And then Carousel comes along, if I loved you. It's all in future. It's all in conditional. And so you could have a wonderful ballad in the first act. That was Oscar's invention and brilliance.
if I love you.
A song a little later in Carousel allows Hammerstein's famous protege, composer-lyricist Stephen Sondheim, to reminisce about one of his earliest theatrical experiences.
My major memory in my teens is when Oscar took me to New Haven to see the first night of Carousel. I was so moved at the end of the first act that I cried into Dorothy Hammerstein's fur. She had this good luck fur she always wore. And, you know, tears can stain fur. And I think she was never able to use it again because I was bawling so heavily. But I remember the way the stage looked at the end of the first act, and I was just awash.
She's gotta be sheltered and fed and dressed in the best that money can buy. I never knew how to get money.
You can quibble about some choices in this series. The use of movie clips, for instance, is a little jarring in a program celebrating live theater. But if film performances are the only record of stars from the teens and the 20s, it makes sense. And the series mostly stops using film clips after the advent of television, when original casts started appearing on variety shows and Tony broadcasts. The six segments of Broadway the American Musical are arranged chronologically from the 1890s to the present, and if Cantor has left out your favorite musical, it may well be included in the gorgeous coffee table book that accompanies the series, or in the DVD, which has 5 extra hours of material. I'm as surprised as anyone to be saying this, but 6 hours of Broadway the American Musical on PBS may only whet your appetite for more. I'm Bob Mondello.
The opening when your heart beats like a drum, the closing when the customers won't come.
There's no business like show business, like no business I know. Everything about it is appealing, everything the traffic will allow.
Our program is directed by Carlene Watson, edited by Franklin Cater, and produced by Graham Smith. The technical director is Bill Deputy.
The production staff includes Art Silverman, Julia Buckley, Jonathan Baer, Carol Klinger, Kim Kokich, Rhonda Ray, and Quinn O'Toole.
Our executive producer is Christopher Turpin. The managing editors for NPR News are Barbara Rehm and Bill Miramo. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.